Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. Today, Ian and I are going to dive into recruitment, recruiting new customers using offer architecture, and how to do it for different types of businesses. So let's get started.
Hello, Ian.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Excellent.
Just for the people listening, this is the second time we started, because Ian was just talking rubbish for a long time. We had to restart the beginning. We did.
Yeah, and I felt maybe we'd gone too far.
There was a point where we were like, we should shut up. Anyway, today on the podcast, we are going to talk about recruitment offers, because for different industries, depending on what you're trying to sell, obviously, we have to recruit in a different way. And it's really one of the most important things you need to think about in how you're actually going to grow, because especially if you've got a business where you've got lifetime customer value and people are going to buy over and over again, getting people into your world is very, very important. So we specifically always think about a recruitment offer for any e-commerce site we work on, or our own e-commerce sites and other people's. And
what, obviously, when we say recruitment offer, we don't mean recruiting staff. Because I know a lot of people will know what we mean by recruitment offer, but some people might not.
Yeah.
But when we say recruitment, we basically mean recruiting a customer. That's what it
means. Recruiting a new customer.
A new customer into the business. And when we say recruitment offer, we're saying, what offer can we use to encourage a new customer to buy from us? Because it's much harder to get a new customer to buy than an existing customer, depending on what you're selling and your lifetime customer value. But the idea is that you know, if someone doesn't know who you are, they're not going to trust you. You have to give them a reason to buy from you. You have to work a lot harder to convince them to buy from you. But when they buy for the first time, to come back and buy again, it's easier.
Yeah.
In those cases. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. So this is why we talk a lot about the recruitment offer, because you haven't got any customers, you've got no business. You know, if you haven't got any customers, you've got nothing to sell again.
Yeah.
So you have to get them onto the customer house file.
One of the KPIs is the six month recruitment rate. So how many customers how many new customers you've recruited in the last 6 months. And if ever we've seen growth stall for one of our giant customers, it's always been that 6 month recruitment, because what's happened is they've gone into something like a Black Friday offer or something with a lower headwind. They've recruited less customers in the past 6 months, and then suddenly they have a bad Black Friday, and they're like, well, why did that happen? Or they have a bad Christmas, and it's like, oh, it's because,
well, they have a bad year.
They have the
previous year they didn't recruit any new customers, and they were just milking their existing house file. And then you know, the next year, think, God, actually, well, we've got no customers left. So in some businesses, depending on how big you get, the metric you're looking at is how many new customers do I need to recruit in order to maintain the same level of spend from my house file? Because obviously some of the house file stop buying.
Yeah.
But that's not something people need to worry about too much.
I find that it's a good metric to use to say, look, Mark, I'm doing 5 million. Next year, I want to do 8 million. I can then go and historically look at that 6 month recruitment rate over time and say, well, in order to do that, this is what you're going to have to do. And therefore, this is what you need to recruit. This is what you need to be spending. This is what your conversion rate
is. Are you saying what you do is you look at the average lifetime customer value historically, and then use that to help predict how to get to 8 million?
Yeah, and also at lifetime customer value, and also 6 month recruitment rate, because then you can kind of see how many customers you're going to have to recruit and what those customers did, and it's just one of the factors you can build into your business model that helps really grow it. And it's because what you can sometimes find with customer recruitment is you might have a bad customer recruitment month, but then you had a good month before. And then it doesn't really matter, because as long as you've got those customers coming in, and that's why we say 6 months, because it's lumpy. You know, like Easter, for example,
what
you're falls on different months sometimes.
You might have a record month. You might have, maybe you've done £1 million in a month. But actually, how much of that was from existing customers and how much of that was from new? Because if it was from existing customers, you might go, well, I'm not going to do that next month. But if it was from new customers, then you might, if you're willing to afford. So that's why it's good to differentiate the two. You've got to know.
I think, like, when we started doing Black Fridays and Cyber Mondays, everyone's like, oh, my God, it's amazing. But if you actually looked at the numbers, it was like, well, a lot of existing customers have just, that's where their revenues come from. And then we actually saw that that had pulled some revenue from Christmas because people had just bought earlier.
And it pulls revenue from before Black Friday and after. Yeah. So you tend to have a lull and then a massive peak. And then, of course,
people
are going to buy
it's
again.
Coming, don't it?
So
let's go through. I've got five different industries here. And let's just go through a recruitment offer or the recruitment setup for those. So the first one I put down is food and wine, because that's kind of different. Because if you've got a range of food, or you've got a range of, or you're selling wines, in terms of recruitment, what you often see these people doing is putting together like the recruitment box or the recruitment sample box.
Mm.
So why don't you talk about what Naked Wines did with us when we're working on those guys?
Well, I mean, they basically would say it was like an irresistible offer. Really. It was like too good to be true. I mean, you know, it's linked to the lifetime customer value. So with food and wine, you tend to have a you know, quite a good repeat business. So if you can put together a really good offer, knowing these customers are going to come back and buy over and over again, it works really. And it's not just, I mean, Naked Wines is a great example, which of course we worked with for quite a few years ago, and, you know, but it's people like HelloFresh and Gusto and all these kind of food subscription businesses. You know, it's all about the recruitment offer. You know, and they know exactly what the lifetime customer value is of it. So they're very, very happy to put these really quite big, sexy, aggressive offers in your face, because they know that they want you to sample the product, don't they? And they want you to actually get in and actually experience it.
It's all about taking away a lot of the friction from buying for the first time. So let's go through Naked Wines. The first thing you do is you used to get a voucher coupon for £20 off with your credit card statement. You'd then go on to Naked Wines. It would ask you a few questions, which was done by a survey, which was basically just a way to kind of tell you that, show you their brand values, and to get you engaged. And then they would then offer you at the end of
that. That's a good point there. That's it's a very different way of recruiting. In order to actually get into the Naked Wine site, they ask you like half a dozen questions around, are you a wine snob? You know, and you can't get into the site until you've answered these six questions. It's so different. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
The reason it works and the reason they do it is because ultimately they have to explain what a wine angel is. So a wine angel is someone who is a subscriber that paid £20 a month to be part of it. So that's quite a complicated thing for someone to grasp. If you think about, you just come into a wine shop, and they have to communicate what a wine angel is and the advantage of being a wine angel in a very easy way without people thinking they're actually sitting there watching a presentation. So the survey is a very clever way of actually very easily kind of introducing the idea of a wine angel and what it means. And then at the end of it, offering them a very easy way to get started. Because if you want to go and buy something from Naked Wines, you've got to buy a crate. So you've got to buy 12 or six. And the chances are that someone's coming on straight away and going to choose six wines. It's not going to happen because it's
so
too
much
of a friction.
So they basically give you £20 off, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying really here, isn't it? That for a food and wine. So I'm going to put it at you on the spot. If you were a meat, you know, say, you know, beautiful artisan, you know, butcher, and you want to sell meat, you know, great meat across the UK, what would you do? What would your recruitment offer be?
Yeah, so if I was selling, I wanted people to subscribe to my subscription box of meat, so they get maybe something every week or something every month. I would then put together, I'd send out some, £20 off vouchers for the subscription, knowing that pretty much people can't get anything for free because my minimum subscription is £50 a month or something like that. And then at the end of that, then I'd say, get started with our new customer box.
Mm.
And in the new customer box would be like an amazing value of meat that people can sample, yeah, which is, maybe some of my best stuff and something that looks really good. And maybe it's kind of like
just making it easy,
so it's not just
aren't you?
Yeah, it's not just
because they're not going to go from nothing to buy it straight away, are you?
Yeah. So it's kind of like this super duper recruitment offer.
They've got to have either heard it from somewhere else, or it's got to be incredible reviews. So and that makes sense, doesn't it? You're basically giving them, but you just do what Nathan Wise do. Why would you change it?
Yeah, and what you're basically saying, what you're basically saying is, look, you don't. Mark's Meats is the main company's called, perhaps. You want to get started with Mark's Meats. You don't know exactly what to buy. Let me put together the perfect sample of meat so you can sample everything you want. I'm going to include my spice rub, my famous spice rub, which is only available to customers and blah, 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 blah. And you can't get it anywhere else. You just put that into like a package and make it really easy for people to do it at a very reasonable price for that. And then that gets them into the subscription. And you then have a process. Then the next step is obviously to make sure that once they've got it, they don't cancel. So therefore you're then going, right, why are people churning? Why are people falling off here? What do I need to do? Oh, maybe I'll give a free gift if they do something. If you stay on for, a couple of months, they get this. You work out where the friction is in it, and you keep moving to the next friction point and going,
it's
well, if
all
I do this,
about
then...
the recruitment offer for a business like that. Your entire focus of your marketing should be around that recruitment offer, and making that making it better and better and better,
and tying the recruitment offer of that pack for the food, not necessarily just to say, oh, here's some meat, how about some meat? It's like, well, what's the job to be done? I'm going to have a barbecue, or I'm going to do, it's like, here's our starter barbecue box, or, so it's done for them. It's like, oh, I've chopped everything up ready size, and I've marinated this for you, so it's basically done for you. And here's there's a free bottle of wine that comes with it, because it goes really well with the beef. And, it's
that sounds amazing. I want it.
It's thought about so that the job to be done, which is what people want, is it's done for you. And that's why these kind of HelloFresh and they've done really well, because it's literally the job to be done is, I want to have a nice dinner, but I don't have to think about it. So I just want to be like a robot and just take the things and just sit down and go, oh, I've cooked a beautiful meal. That's what the recruitment offers work, because it ties the job to be done and it works really well. So if you have food and wine or skincare or beauty, those kind of things work very well with a recruitment offer. Even if you haven't got a subscription box, if you haven't got a subscription plan, they will all work. People want to sample the stuff first before they kind of dive in with two. They want to tip a toe into
the
water.
You're absolutely right, actually. It's those two fundamental things. It's marketing the job to be done, and then give them a reason to buy it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Because a lot of those, if you think about a lot of those businesses, food and wine and skincare, the job to be done tends to be very similar for all customers. So if someone's coming to a wine site, they want a bottle of wine to drink for a dinner or, a party or something like that. If it's meat, they want some meat to eat at dinner.
Yeah.
So that moves it.
Well, I think beauty is a similar model for food and drink, actually. Skincare. Makeup and things like that. Obviously the job to be done is to look great, feel confident, exuberant, et cetera, et cetera. But it's the same thing. You've got to get the product in the hands of the customer. They have to try it.
They're not
going to go and spend, £80 on a skincare that they've never heard of, that no one's endorsed, that there's no reviews, there's no credibility there. You've got to really convince them. Of course, the amazing thing about beauty products online is not just online, but is the loyalty. The customer, you get it right. The customer loyalty is phenomenal. You can get. So the value of recruiting, just thinking that some of these brands, you know, they get these customers for 20 years. You know, how valuable it is, that customer to them could spend, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds over 20 years. So it's so important to get it right. And of course, a lot of these businesses, like HelloFresh and Gusto, they're valued on their subscription model, aren't they? How many customers they have. You know, that's how these e-commerce businesses
are valued. Well, they're worth a lot more subscription businesses if you go and sell businesses. Yeah. Subscription businesses, I think it's around about, you can almost get up to 8 times profit sometimes from a subscription business. Whereas if you're selling a normal e-commerce business, it's like 2, 3, 4 times, you know. So they are very hot property at the moment. So if you can include a subscription element to your business, then, you know, you've got a much more bigger prospect of having a higher exit. So wanted to move on to fashion. It's basically food and wine, the job to be done tends to be quite similar, whereas fashion slightly different because you can't, let's say you're selling men's suits, for example, or men's wear. You can't really have a get started with Mark's menswear site because it's kind of like what you're going to put in it. Oh, here's a pair of socks and here's a shirt. And it doesn't really, it doesn't really tie itself to that because people will come to my Mark's menswear suits, Mark's menswear site with the job to be done is like, I need a jacket. I need a pair of trousers. I need, you know, they have something specific in mind. So therefore the recruitment offer needs to be done on the particular set of garments that you want to recruit on. And to recruit into that market, you need to have a category that has enough of an options to be there for the choice. You've still got
to fundamentally have the desirability. If it's fashion, you know, it's about desirability. You know, if it's a problem-solving purchase, it's more about convincibility. But if it's fashion, it's desirability because it's a lifestyle product. It's an emotional product. So you have the desirability has to be there. So they have to want the product. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to think, that jacket is desirable. And of course, that's through great photography, brand, tone of voice, you know, mainly photography. But obviously, you know, obviously the traffic that's got there, you know, as well. But so generally, that's essentially you have to do it on that item.
So you can do a recruitment offer. You can have free delivery for first-time customers. You can do free gift with order for first-time customers. You can say, you know, obviously you can remove the friction. You say free returns, 365-day returns. You know, you can do a lot of things to take the anxiety away for that thing. Yeah. But you can't really go and say, here's a suit sample box.
Those things are great at reducing the anxiety because obviously that's important. You know, what do they worry about when buying a jacket online? What's the biggest anxiety? Well, it's fit, isn't it? Yeah, we're buying clothes online. The biggest thing people worry about is fit. Is it going to fit me? So you can take that anxiety away. However, what that still does not do is give them a reason to buy now. You know, that's just taking anxiety. It's still not enough. So you have to give them a reason to act now. And that's where the offer comes in. Because the good thing about the offer is you can then take the offer away. So you can say, hey, you know, if you buy this today or this week, there's an offer here. You come back next week, the offer's gone. That's why the offer architecture is very important, particularly if you're a young business that's small. If you're a massive brand, you don't need to be work quite as hard because the convincibility and desirability is already there in the brand.
I mean, that does assume you can go for the jugular straight away. So, like, you know, if it's menswear, you're in the normal kind of consumer range. You're selling a suit for, like, between £100 and £200, £300. You can kind of recruit on that. But let's say you're selling, the way I've seen bigger sites sell, so that you're selling, like, bespoke suits for, like, £2,000 or something like that. Then what your recruitment offer would tend to be, you know, you get a swatch. You could buy a swatch to be sent to you, or you could buy something, you know, buy the sizing suit. So they could actually, I've seen people send two jackets that are their fit and say, well, try these on and work out which ones these fit you, or send you measurements in, or, you know, like this, or book a measuring session on Zoom. So, you know, that will be that's your recruitment thing, is just the first thing to get them in the door, which is a bit more like lead gen. Or, you know, the glasses company, is it Warby Parker, who actually send you some frames to your house and you just try them on at your house and then you decide which one you want.
You don't like. Well, it's interesting. You're going back to the fashion second. Keep it in the fashion for a second. You know, when we say do an offer around, you know, give them a discount, we're not saying your business should be focused on price. We're not saying that at all, because I think that's obviously that's one of the common misconceptions, that when we talk about, you know, doing an offer of a discount, it is not about price. But obviously, if you've got to give people a reason to act now, why would they act now? Why would they buy it now? You know, no one needs that jacket. You know, they can go and buy it from anywhere. And in fact, they probably don't even need it in the first place. You've got to give them a reason to act now, to not put it off. Because obviously there's lots of distractions in life. So we're not saying that you should be the cheapest jacket for that particular quality. But we're saying there's got to be a thing, a reason to get them to buy now. And obviously the discount one is a model, because, you know, you could price that jacket £1,000. You know,
well, you trigger the kind of like the value is like high price equals good, which people have in their mind. It's like if you put a suit to be £500, I think, well, that's a £500 suit. And if you can convince them and look like a site that's got a £500 suit and then sell it for £250 on an offer, you kind of go, people go, ooh, that's interesting. Whereas if you just kind of came out and told for £250, they'd be like, oh, it's a £250 suit. I wonder if they're going to do any deals on that. You know, it's.
Well, so you're basically saying fashion, really, the main recruitment offer is money off on the item. That's what we're saying, isn't it?
Usually, yeah, but you can control your price. If you're selling other people's clothing, it's a bit more difficult.
Well, if you're selling other people's products, it's a bit more difficult. But mainly, that's what you see, Boohoo, Pretty Little Thing. You know, it's all about the offer, isn't it? It's all about the deal.
Yeah, they all do the discounts. They all do discounts. And they all do.
And it's enough. Everyone wants a deal. Who doesn't want a deal? Who would rather pay £150 or £100?
Yeah,
for the same thing.
And people aren't going to complain that they go into the site when they wanted a pair of trousers and they found the site on sale. They're never going to go, "Ooh, I wish it wasn't on sale. Or I wish it was more expensive."
Yeah.
You know, so you have to understand that people, when people come to, you know, you see your site, you're sitting with your site, and you go, "Oh, I've always got a sale on," but people only come once, twice a year.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't see it
a year. Exactly. Yeah. Don't faff around with your homepage banner every week.
No.
People only seeing it once a year. You get bored of it, but no one else does. If it recruits well, leave it. Okay. So next one.
Home decor. So like, we've got a lot of these on the coaching group at the moment. So they're all doing really well, actually. They're doing really well. It's a great time to be starting a business in home decor. Lockdown really helped. Obviously, I'd like to think it was my coaching help, of course. But a bit of wind behind them. So, but recruitment offers for home decor is a bit like quite like fashion.
Yeah.
In that you can't really put together a sample pack or anything like that. But what you can do, which a lot of the, you know, some of the people that are starting to really scale, like they're working with some influencers, and they would put together like things that went together. So maybe like like some fake flowers and a portrait and a, you know, something like three things that kind of add up to kind of a look, which are then kind of bundled. And that's a very nice way for people to kind of see something. It's like, oh, I could add that to my bathroom, and that would just, you know, completely transform it. So that there are these kind of little bundle offers that you can recruit, and you'll see that people are buying those on your site. So you can kind of go and pull off the products and see which ones are bought together. And you go, well, that's interesting. Why are people buying that and that together? And then you'll realize that that's because someone has posted that in a picture, posted that in a picture.
Yeah, you're right. But hang on, just keeping it simple for a second, because you drifted off into complicated territory there. What do the big guys do, right? And I'll tell you what they do. You know, look at somebody like Cox & Cox.
Yeah.
Okay, all they do is an email business. You come onto the site, you'll see it on a brochure or Google Shopping, you land on the product page, you'll sign up to an email because there's an offer architecture there, because there's a welcome offer there of 20%. You sign up to the email, the first weekend that comes, they hit you with a weekend offer of 20% off a certain category. There'll be an email on Friday announcing it, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, extended on Monday. And that's it. It's a flash sale, 20% off, and occasionally, when they need more revenue, they'll do a 30% off. That's it, and it's always a weekend. So the offer architecture is very, very simple. It's in return for the email, we'll give you an offer. And if you don't buy there and then there, because we know the buying window is a little bit longer to make the decision about what you're buying for your home, we'll hit you at the weekend, and we'll hit you at the weekend every weekend until you do buy something. And then once once you've recruited, you then go on our existing customer house file. That's it. If you do that in your homeware business, you'll be recruiting more successfully than you've ever done. Forget what Mark's saying. That's ridiculous.
To be honest, it's great. That is one of the models that I'm using for one of the customers, and you'll know who they are.
I do.
And they're smashing it.
Absolutely right. It's absolutely right to do it. But generally, if you just want to do something, you know, as an overact, like something that you can run for the next 10 years, because what you've got to do there is create very specific content around on trend, which, of course, if you're recruiting through Facebook, you've got to do. But overall, if you want a recruitment model that's just going to work full stop and you can just leave it, that's the model. Because I know that, because that's how businesses like Cox & Cox have scaled to the size that they are. And Graham and Green and all the other ones.
You've got to do two things. You've got to photograph things amazingly. You've got to create engagement on Facebook and Instagram. And then you've got to use the offers to flush those sales out of those engaged people. So it's like a kind of three-step plan, isn't it? It's like great images, engagement.
Well, simplifying it down, you've got to create the desirability first. You have to create desirability, and then you have to give people a reason to buy. And what you were doing there with the Instagram and the influencers and creating these people like this and put the products together and this, you know, et cetera, bundles, that's increasing the desirability. Oh yeah, I love the fact that vase goes with that table and the candle. Oh my God, it looks incredible together. Look at those three. Oh, and it's endorsed by XYZ influencer. What's that doing? Yeah. That's increasing desirability.
Yeah, because you can't discount. If you haven't built up any value, you can't discount again. And if I suddenly said to you, Ian, I want to sell you this empty Coke can, and I'm going to give you 50% off.
And it's the same for a problem-solving rational purchase, which is about increasing convincibility. And if it's an emotional lifestyle one, it's about increasing desirability. And without convincibility or desirability, the offer doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to do those things.
Yeah.
That's next it, one. Basically. And that's the whole of e-commerce. Summed up.
Done.
In 20 done. Seconds.
Well done.
Yep.
Car parts. Car part business. More rational-based purchase. You know, so your recruitment offer is... It's really close, isn't it? Because it's like someone needs that car battery. Yeah. They need today.
If you don't get the sale today, like, you've lost them.
You can't do. We'll have a sample of our car batteries. sample pack.
No, you have to convince them that this is the place they're going to solve this problem that is really causing you pain right now.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's about price and availability. This is the best price, and it's available now. You can come pick it up in our store.
And it does the job. You convince them that it does the job. If I buy this battery for my car, it's going to last longer than the other batteries. It's going to be great. It's just completely right for my Ford Escort. It's never going to let me down. What about a Ford Escort?
You still got what that Ford Escort. You have to use a different example now.
So what did I say last week? Dorothy Perkins. Like 40 years ago.
You need to get some new examples, Mark. How old are you?
Nissan Sunny. You know, you got your Nissan Sunny.
Nissan Sunny. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I used to drive a Nissan Sunny. Fred. You'd always have like a TVR or Porsche or something.
No.
I was like the sensible one. And you were always like...
It was a few years apart.
Was it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got car parts, recruitment car parts. So you have an offer. You do have an offer, so people grab it today and they want to buy it. So you have to have that incentive.
You've got to stop them going to another website to go, can I get it cheaper? Can I get it faster? You've got to convince them that they're in the right place. Because when you're buying a car part or a problem-solving rational purchase, you know, often people need it now. They don't want to go and start, go and sit and look at 18 different websites. Just convince me that this is the right bloody part for my car, that it's the right price, it's the, you know, the price match promise, and you've got it in stock, and I can have it tomorrow.
And also,
that's
if,
what you got to do.
If I want to come in and get it, if I want to come and get it and click and collect, it's going to be allocated to me. It's going to be set. It's going to be easy when I come into the store. I'll literally just walk in, pick it up, go out. You know, I'm not going to sit in a queue. You know, so it's that whole process of kind of going, I want to get this done today. It's like, okay, if you do this with us today, you're just going to have this. It's going to be so easy. You're just going to be here. You're going to be in the store for 5 seconds and then literally be out. You're not going to have to queue with anybody. There's going to be someone that meets you at the door. We're going to know when you're coming. It's like Domino's Pizza.
It's price match promise. So if you find it cheaper, if you buy it now, if you find it cheaper in the next 14 days from anywhere, we'll refund you the difference.
Exactly.
You know, all that kind of stuff. It's like there's just no hassle. It's we've done all the work for you. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to do that. You just cannot let them go. Once you've gone off into another website, you've lost them. So that's done.
And that's why you're seeing these people with these tires. They're literally coming around to your house, fitting tires on your driveway, and just, you know, everything's done, isn't it? It's like, oh, you want some new tires? Okay, where's your car? It's like, oh, we'll just come and fit your tires. And it's like, what? You know, it's the same with, those kind of services will increase. Yeah, because they haven't got these... They haven't got any big factories to kind of support and big warehouses to...
Tires, you know, it's just massive disruption, isn't it? Online.
Yeah.
Great online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one I've got was a subscription business, which you kind of touched on for food and wine, but like, let's say like it's a subscription coffee business.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a lot of those, you know, who are doing well. And I think with the recruitment there is, you know, someone comes on, they want to buy some Mexican coffee. So the job to be done is they're looking for some Mexican coffee or Guatemalan coffee or something they decided they want to get a flavor from. And they, you know, they see it and, you know, to be honest, I don't know how much coffee is, don't drink coffee, but it's 20 quid. And, but if you buy it on the subscription, it's like £10, you know, so they're like, there's a massive incentive to go and buy it on the subscription. And then it says, oh, you can cancel at any time. So what people think, oh, I'll buy it on £10 and I'll cancel it in a couple of months, or I'll cancel it next month and I'll actually get this a lot cheaper. So that's kind of how your recruitment is. And then you obviously, when they do subscribe, you actually send them a coffee, and then you have a chance to turn them into a long time subscriber. Obviously, some people forget and they keep getting the subscription, or it's just they're just loving it so much and they get a free mystery gift and they're buying into it and they see videos and they're into the community. Maybe there's a Facebook group that attaches everybody, you know, talk about everybody at the same time getting the same coffee. So you build the path. You say, look, you know, we're going to do this, but actually, if you do this, it's going to be so much better for you. And by the way, you can cancel any time and all that kind of stuff. So that's how you do it with subscription. Mm-hmm. You know, you basically make the incentive to do what you want them to do much bigger than what they would normally do. Because if you know that your customer value, lifetime customer value for a coffee subscriber, you could say, well, I can recruit at this level knowing that I'm going to make money.
And that's like the HelloFresh model, isn't it? The Gusto model, the food subscription businesses. They know that. They know the the lifetime, the money. I mean, I'm with Gusto. I've done it for the last 2 years. You know, and I probably will for the next five. I don't know. I spend thousands of pounds with them. So they know they're really
amazing how that business model came out of nowhere. Literally wasn't there. And then there was this billion-dollar business sitting there that no one had thought about. And it makes you think, what is billion-dollar businesses sitting there that no one's even thought about yet, that is just going to be the hugest thing? And you think everything's been done, don't you? And then suddenly someone goes, oh, Gusto. And it's not just, it's over the whole world. We have them in New Zealand. We have them in America. It's just massive.
Well, actually, in other industries, it's probably been happening for a long time, hasn't it? You know, like what were the businesses that sold beauty through, you know, subscription? Well, they used to send people around people's houses to buy it pyramid size.
Oh, you mean like multi-level marketing kind of stuff, and they do
that kind of stuff. But you know,
Tupperware businesses do them, don't they?
And then another, you know, but someone has come along with a food business, done it. You know, Interesting. Anyway, interesting. But it's quite interesting taking it to different industries, isn't it? The recruitment there.
Yeah, because it comes, I think if you actually sum it all up, it comes down to the job to be done. So focus on the job to be done module in the course if you've got access to the course. And dive into that, because then that's really going to tell you what your recruitment offer needs to be and how it needs to develop and what you need to be talking about. Because the anxiety that a new customer has is way, way, way higher than an existing customer. So the anxiety needs to be removed with your recruitment offer, and also the friction and their kind of feeling. They're basically trying to avoid buyer's remorse. So if you go and look at the your bad reviews or the industry bad reviews, 3 out of 5s, you'll see what remorse the buyers are having. And that'll be the buyer's remorse people are trying to avoid. And therefore you can take that out with your recruitment offer. And that's and when we say recruitment offer, we're not just saying money off. We're saying like what your returns policy is and how you package it and what you put together. And, you know, it's like your offering, your recruitment offering is what we're talking about.
The whole thing, so, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Do the course. You need to do the course because it's brilliant. Because it talks about everything like this.
The course is good. But to be honest, I think people are going to expect us to say it's good because it's our course.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is good, actually.
I like the course, and I'm adding to it all the time. And one thing, it's one thing doing e-commerce, you know, 15 years doing e-commerce, but once you start teaching it, you don't realize what you know, and it starts coming out, and you start realizing that the models that you use, and they're gradually, I've been doing this probably for about 12 months now, and they're gradually starting to build things and start saying, okay, now we need to actually communicate this, and this is how I'm doing it. So the course is evolving over time to make, as I'm getting better at it, to understand what I need to do and why. So that's fine. Anyway, that's all good. Thank you very much, Ian. And
thanks, Mark.
We'll speak to you all next week.
Great stuff. Bye bye.